Broadcasting live from the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, the Training 2015 Conference and Expo.
All right, we are back. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with another exciting and informative edition of Learning Insights coming to you from the show floor of Training 2015. In this segment, we have with us Pani Masharaju. That's not bad. That was close, right? Learning and Performance Manager. And John Paul Prasard with he's AVP Training, Delivery, and Development. Both of them with Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company. Welcome to the show, guys.
It's great to be here. Excited.
Well, congratulations. Nationwide has been named once again to the Training 125 list. How'd you guys pull that off? Bribes? What's your methodology?
Just a lot of hard work, gentlemen. A lot of hard work.
Good people.
I said it was all
great people, great focus, hard work, the whole deal.
It was all you, wasn't it, Pani?
I have to say I'm really proud of my team. They really put their heart and soul into it, and a lot of collaboration. So extreme good teamwork.
So now, if to help the teams out there that, like number 126, you know, the person that didn't quite make it, what are some tips to help them get into the 125 next year?
Oh, that's funny.
I like the way you frame that question. Make them all feel bad. I guess some tips. I think there's a couple of things. One, the culture of our training organization is, I think, very impressive. It's very focused on designing very wholesome curriculum for our end users, whomever that may be. Our training organization helps financial professionals, property and casualty professionals, salespeople, underwriters, product people. I mean, we've got a very vast audience. So just the focus for the end consumer or the end user is really, really prevalent in our culture.
Now, does it go all the way from the top where the C-suite is insisting on, having a best-in-class training and development group?
Absolutely. I mean, we're at the table in all of the large strategic conversations.
All right, hit the brakes right there, because if that's true, candidly, that's a little bit unusual. Seriously, for the training and development folks to really be...
Well, from number 126 down, it's unusual, but in the top 125, that's how
I would
they
say
roll.
The top 125.
No,
I would hope that's something
though.
Common.
But. Why do you have a seat at the strategic table?
Well, I think senior leadership across our business units, you know, Nationwide's a large company. We've got 35,000 people. You know, we're a huge company, but our leadership recognizes the importance for training and development to be right there in large strategic conversations, because they understand that in order to get distribution or to get our salespeople moving forward, training is right there and is an enabler for that.
All right, so there's senior level commitment, but it strikes me that there also must be very prevalent among your rank and file in the training and development arena. You guys must understand the business imperatives and must really have a good handle on how you're communicating how the training and development is going to meet those strategic objectives. You talk exec. Is that right, Pani? Have you learned how to talk exec?
She has.
I'm learning.
So to that point, though, I just want to make a comment. I think what you'll find in our organization, we're about 200 people strong in the Nationwide Academy, and there's a plethora of different insurance and training disciplines across that couple of hundred people. So they not only understand education, e-learning, development, delivery, all the different facets of learning, but they also understand the insurance business. So, you know, it just gives it a very wholesome strategic conversation, and it enables us to sit with senior leadership through the ranks and advise them on what the best solution would be from training, education, development, whatever that may be. So that balance, I use this word a lot within the organization, balance is really important. We have a balance of great educators, designers, deliverers, facilitators, both in classroom and in the virtual space. We've also got some great insurance professionals. And when you have that balance between the technical discipline that you're in and the discipline of learning and education, you know, great things happen, and they will continue to happen at Nationwide. So.
But now the executives want to know that they're getting a return on their investment. How important is the measurables and to, you know, demonstrate that, hey, this stuff is paying off?
Oh, that's not important at all. Well, they just take our word for it.
That's good. No, I'm just taking your word for it.
Pani says it's cool, so we're just going to do it.
Everybody got a gold star today, so we all won.
I'm just kidding. I guess I would say that I think for every major company, metrics and return on investment is something that we all struggle with
right.
in and around mm-hmm. training and education is actually a strategic focus for us right now at the Nationwide Academy, building out different metric models to show us the return. And we have some basic, obviously, metrics that we measure within the organization, but again, a really wholesome return on investment calculation is something we're still developing and searching for, quite frankly.
So what are the metrics you're using right now?
A lot of the metrics we use are within the business, so premium, policies. Of course, we have our surveys and different levels of...
But what are you high-fiving at the end of the day?
So like
how do you know you did a good
right?
job?
Increases in premiums, increases in policies?
Increases in policies,
less
increase
attrition
in quota bind. All of the industry-level metrics that we would measure our insurance business by is tracked alongside. I would say just, and this is going to sound probably corny, but I can tell you, walking through our classroom facility in Columbus, watching people walk out of our classroom, our classes, with that excited look on their face. I know that's not a return calculation.
You just
but
take a picture and then send it to the CEO.
But I can tell you, it means a lot.
Yeah.
You know, measuring that immeasurable experience that they
right.
go through the training.
Well, that
is
probably
really
helps in retention, right? That keeps the people around.
It does, and it shows with the company
that you
as
care
a whole
and
is
you're practicing what you
people.
Preach and you're
yeah.
investing in your people.
Yep.
And regarding innovation, do you guys have a conscientious effort towards and say, look, we're going to invest some time this week, this month, this quarter toward doing something totally different and innovating? Or does it just sort of emerge as you're doing the rest of your work?
I think it's a little bit of both, quite frankly, and Pawnee can jump on this one, but go ahead.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of both. Like JP said, we have a culture for innovation, but also the teams, we have something called work streams where they're all like based on, you know, innovative concepts. And so we break into teams and then we basically come up with some deliverables, brainstorming. And so at the end of it all, we're just trying to see how we can incorporate many of these things that come out of these brainstorming sessions into a curriculum.
JP is a, you know, I've been talking to the guy for a half hour before you got here. He never invited me to call him JP. I think that's fantastic.
That's
because Pawnee does special things for our organization, my friend.
So, I have a question around innovation because I think it can be very exciting and invigorating to get a group of smart folks together who are passionate and generate some new ideas. But sometimes there are some great ideas that just need to be parked for a little while. And my question to you guys is, have you figured out how to keep those people engaged even when you need to park their idea for a little while because you're going to run with something else? Because you don't want to demotivate them just because that particular idea isn't practical to implement or try to commercialize. Any experience with that?
Yeah, so my team and we actually used to meet every other week just for a team meeting, which was typical team meeting. But then we decided very consciously that we would use every other meeting for brainstorming. So the idea being that, you know, like you just said, I mean, it may be possible that we might have to park it for a little while. The other thing that I'm also considering, and I'm in talks with leadership, is to see if I can get 10% of everybody's MBOs geared towards the performance objectives, geared towards just innovation.
Oh,
so
wow.
On a rotational basis, like each person will get about 2 days in a month to, you know, on a rotational basis to just not do anything but just innovate. So that's something I think we want to make it part of our culture.
You on this bandwagon, JP? this 10% MBOs, that's a serious commitment.
Absolutely. I mean, I guess I would say around innovation.
JP is new, so he didn't know about this until just now.
So that's done.
This is our way of dropping the news yeah. right here.
yeah, no, out now. No, I guess I would say innovation-wise, you know, that all stems from the culture that you provide or allow to exist or however you want to say it. And the promotion of ideas is so important. And I would say, you know, I'm relatively new to this part of Nationwide Insurance, and what I've experienced is a culture within the training environment that promotes great ideas. And that may be just spontaneously encouraging people to whiteboard in our offices, or that may be more structured, as Pawnee said. But I think every day we're trying to push the envelope and create new ideas, big, small, all the way, you know, through the plethora of ideas. But It's a direct result of the culture, and quite frankly, that's leadership all the way through the ranks to provide that culture for everybody. So, you know, we're pushing that envelope every day, believe it or not, in an insurance company, which you would say sometimes aren't most creative.
We're cutting edge.
We are cutting edge.
Leading edge.
We are.
So now, is there anything you're most proud of, any accomplishment this year? Well, you just started JP, so.
We've used a lot of innovative concepts like flipped classroom, which we started, it was a great effort last year, and we continue to pursue that. A lot of blended learning approaches, simulations, animations, and videos, experiential learning, discovery learning. So all these things, I mean, have become almost part of, you know, our everyday deliverables. And so I'm really proud of my team. You know, we've gone from, you know, starting out not knowing where we were, headed. And then now it's become, you know, pretty natural for them to, you know, use any of these concepts.
So backstory on you guys, and I'll start with you, Pani. Have you worked in other industries before? You always been in insurance and always been involved in training and development? Or you used to ride rodeo? Or what's your backstory?
How did you guess?
Well, I've worked in several different industries. As an instruction designer, I think that's pretty natural to do. So I've been a course developer, I've been a programmer, and started out my career with, training, but I've been in different industries, and then Nationwide really has kept me going. I really like working for this company, so I'm here to stay.
How much time we got, gentlemen? It could go a while.
No, you've been involved in insurance for quite some time, right?
Yeah, no, I started in the banking and financial world, and then progressed into Nationwide about 10 years ago. So I've been in different facets of the insurance business, run sales companies and underwriting companies and stuff like that. And here recently, towards the end of last year, came over to the training organization to try my hand at leading a training organization, which it's been a phenomenal experience thus far. You mentioned the question, what are you most proud of? And of course, other than being part of the top 125 for the last 4 years in a row, that's obviously a great accomplishment. But I would say just keep using this word, culture and attitude of the folks in the design organization or the delivery organization at the Nationwide Academy is just phenomenal. I mean, keeping those folks engaged and motivated,
right,
trying to figure out new ideas and new curriculum, new ways to deliver. You know, those guys are working real hard to make that happen, and it's a really fun thing to watch and be part of.
So do you hang out a lot together or communicate? If not in in the same physical space, are you guys always talking to each other? Is it you and Pani?
I would say, yeah, Pani and I, and then there's a whole bunch. So one thing, we have a quite condensed group of designers and deliverers in one space, so it really promotes innovation, creative thinking. It also, obviously, if you've got a question about something in a curriculum, how it affects a design or a delivery process, I mean, we're right next to each other. Yeah. So
personal hygiene is important, but also promotes respect and being willing to share ideas.
Exactly right.
And I just have to say that the leadership is very, we have such an open door policy. I've never felt like I cannot go to my, you know, VP or AVP. It's just anytime there's an idea, I just feel like I can run it by them. And it's been absolutely wonderful working for, you know, the Sales Academy.
All right, so what's next for you guys?
Tonight or this
tonight,
year?
Tomorrow, what are you going to try to get out of this conference?
They're going to pick up their award.
Right? Yeah. You got your acceptance speech already?
Pawnee does, yeah.
No, I thought JP did.
So, no, tonight you probably let off a little steam, visit and all that. Now, tomorrow will you go to a conference or, a session or two?
I signed up for a few sessions. I mean, there are some interesting ones, especially for leadership. So I signed up for them, and I'm enjoying myself.
For me, that's a great networking opportunity. We actually have we have some openings that I'm trying to source some candidates for. So hopefully
John
at the gala
Paul's
tonight, I'll be able to meet some folks and give them.
So get your resumes ready. JP's around.
Yeah.
No, we didn't touch on that, but that's an important part of your job. You've always got to be sourcing good caliber talent. Right?
Talent for me. We're actually going through some restructuring in the academy and, you know, bringing some disciplines together that hadn't been together in the past, which has provided me some new leadership opportunities for my team. So, yeah, it's a constant part of what I do, trying to find great talent for the organization. So hopefully we'll find, you know, I'll be able to make some friends tonight and find some talent. So.
I have no doubt. Well, Pani, John Paul, thank you so much. Congratulations on making the Training 125 four consecutive years, right? Fourth year in a row.
Yep.
I'm not the least little bit surprised, but I'm excited for you, and I hope you'll join us again on the air sometime.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
All right, gang, that is a wrap from day one from the show floor of Training 2015 Conference and Expo.
This has been a Special Business Radio X production, brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.